So last week we were in chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26, and we ended with verse 20, but we're going to pick up verse 20 and do 20, 21, and 22 as a group because they all kind of address the same thing. And then we'll look at verse 23 through the end, which is like verse 28 or something. So those will be our first two topics of conversation. Anybody want to start reading tonight?
All right. Hang around.
So we're in 20, 21, and 22?
Yes, please. 20, 21, and 22.
Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no tail, the strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body.
Okay.
I say that one right.
Truffle.
Trifles.
T-R-I-F-L-E-S, trifles.
There you go. Sure. Trifles. Or the NIV says morsels.
Morsels.
That's why I thought it was truffles.
My Bible says wounds.
Says what?
Wounds.
Wounds. Yep. Good. So what are we talking about if we look at verse 20, 21, and 22? Kind of what's the summary that someone can put together on that?
Well, I think it talks about gossip.
Yep.
But this one says, people love to hear gossip. And it's like taste of food on its way to the stomach.
Good.
So I think it's about gossip, really.
Why does it make the comparison between charcoal and fire or embers?
Burning keeps going on. Talbear keeps fires going, bad thoughts going.
Fuel for the fire.
Yep. Fuel for the fire. All right, so what categories would you assign verses 20 through 22?
Tongue.
Good. Any others? Mm-hmm. What?
No, I'm just thinking.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Any other categories?
Lying.
Do we need to turn down the air conditioner so we all don't fall asleep because it is hot in here?
Oh, I think it's nice and cool.
Wow, really? It is hot.
And 78 in the trailers.
Self-control.
Good. Self-control. And why would you say self-control?
Because, like, if you hear something, then you just kind of want to tell somebody. And yesterday I was watching a video, and then it was like, come out prayer and how, like, if you hear something, you should, like, pray about it instead of going and tell somebody else.
Good. I like that.
Everybody likes a good story that you want to get engulfed in to, you know.
Yeah.
Tell me more. What's going on? You know.
Bore the tea.
Yeah. That kind of thing. I think we can get drawn into it super easy.
Yeah. So one of the things we said last week, we said it was almost selfish to get caught up in the gossip and stay in it, just to tear someone else down or tear the situation down.
It almost verges on disrespect then, too.
Yes.
I shouldn't say almost. It does.
I was saying because I was talking so much about lying, about the illusion of lying.
Mm-hmm. The illusion of lying?
Yeah.
Good.
Some people lie so much they believe their own lies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
You really start to get that grand relation, you know what I mean?
Yeah. kind of points out the importance of being kind, right? And being friendly and being nice. All right, so let's go on to verses 23 through basically the end of verse 28. Now let's only take the first three, but we'll look at these as a group. But let's do the first three, we'll talk about them, then we'll look at the next three, and then we'll look at the last one or two.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, are these all together or just separate?
Yeah, they'll all be together.
They all two together?
Okay. Yeah, we're just going to read the first three. So 23, 24, and 25, please.
Smooth lips with an evil heart are like glaze on an earthen vessel. A hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbors deceit within. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him, for there are seven detestable things in his heart.
Okay. So the rest of this verse actually goes along with it. But for ease, let's look at verse 23. What are we talking about there? What's the analogy? Good. In the King James, I think that uses the word fervent. It's the idea of another word that was actually used in the Septuagint is smooth lips. So like smooth lips. It's the idea that it has there.
Con artist.
Yeah, con artist. Hiding what's inside. I like the glaze over, the silver over. So what does verse 24 talk about?
They're covering their heart.
Two-faced.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What kind of person are we describing? It uses a very strong word at the very beginning.
Hateful person discusses himself with speech.
Good. A hateful person, a malicious person, someone who has some ill intent, right?
Oh, I'm listening to that.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm lying. I hate to be, oh, okay, I thought this had
all. And what does it mean to harbor deceit?
Harbor deceit?
It's about intent, isn't it?
Yeah. Holding, right? Holding that.
Grudge.
That grudge or that deceitful behavior, and
kind of holding resentment towards somebody.
Yeah, holding it tight and close.
Holding it tight.
That's intentional.
Intentional resentment.
Good.
Instead of letting it go.
Pathological liars, they're lying so often. They actually have a track record, like a boat coming into the harbor. It's kind of like each little boat is another lie that they're keeping inside them. And eventually it is going to be too much, you know.
Can't keep track of all of them?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about in verse 25 then?
He speaks graciously and don't believe him, for there are seven detestable things in his heart.
Okay. So his speech is... Do we have other versions? What does it say the speech is?
Graciously and kindly.
Gracious, kindly.
Conceals malice.
Conceals malice.
What's the NIV?
So the NIV uses the word charming.
Charming. That's good, yeah.
We're at verse 25. We're just kind of taking each verse.
What does it mean when it refers, when it uses the number 7?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Usually 7 is a divine number.
Okay.
But in a good light.
All right, so I'm really glad you asked that. That's why we're taking each one of these verses and breaking them down before we go any further. So when we get to verse 25, it talks about these seven detestable things, or these seven abominable things, right? So keep it in mind that the Hebrew language uses numbers also. Seven typically means the idea of being complete, right? But I think also Solomon is referencing back to something that we read many, 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 many months ago. So if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 6.
Proverbs
remember, this is in the letter that he has written to all of these princes that are going to be new leaders, right? So this letter, you might say, would be common knowledge for these princes. And when he says seven abominable things, he's referencing two things. One, a list. And two, they are completely abominable, right? These are, he is fully and completely given over to sin. It's not anything else greater than that. It's the fact that he is completely abominable to others. But if we also look in chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 19. Would someone please read those, please?
I can.
Okay.
There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Hating eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in the family.
Okay. So, when we look at that, any questions about that list? Thoughts? So, does that
haughty
list...
Haughty eyes, what's that?
Haughty eyes?
Yeah.
Meaning I'm better than you.
You're, oh, so like comparison, basically?
Yeah.
Okay. Pride.
Pride.
Okay.
You ever have somebody look at you like that and go... like that?
Yeah.
Right?
It's just a proud look.
Yeah, it's a proud look. It's whatever. It's what that is, right? I'm not paying attention. That's what that is. My grandson actually did that to me the other day. It was funny.
It was
but
newborn, right?
Yeah, it was the newborn.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea is, if we read this list, isn't it interesting that so far we are describing these exact same things as we're going through this list? And so when we get to this, let me quote it for what you've already read. It says, though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. These things that God hates, he is completely and fully contemptible towards anything good, precious, nice, godly. He would be, we would describe him as the scorner, right? The scorner heard what he was supposed to do and literally turned his back and did the exact opposite thing. Where the fool knows what he's supposed to do but chooses not to do what he's supposed to do but doesn't do the wrong thing. And the simple doesn't even know what they're supposed to do, right? That's how we describe these three types of people. So this is definitely like that scorner who's, I know what's right, I'm not doing it. In fact, I'm going to do the exact opposite. Yes? Okay. So let's go ahead and read verses 26, 27, and 28. Yeah, there are three. All right. 26, verse 26, 27, and 28.
While their hatred may be calculated by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. You set a trap for others, you will get caught in yourself. If you roll and boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. A lion's tongue hates its victims, and flattering words causes ruin.
Ruin. Yep. All right. So in verse 26, what are we talking about?
How do you know?
Do what?
Say, how do you know?
Yeah.
Am I? Because I don't think we're meant to say, like, you can always tell when someone is schmoozing. what's the word?
Schmoozing.
Yeah, so you can't always tell when someone is just lying through their teeth. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the whole point, is that they're good at deceiving, because if you ever know someone who's good at lying, they're really good at lying.
Yeah.
If you don't know, they have no tells. It's because they've done this so many times. It's just, that sounds good. I feel pretty good about myself, actually. You know?
I had a guy actually lie to me, square to my face today. He was sitting on the back porch, and I walked out. He's wearing a hoodie. Does anybody remember how hot it was today? I mean, it's not hot, but 80 degrees outside, even in the shade. And he's wearing a hoodie and a pair of boots. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm fine." I said, "Well, my name's Tim." I said, "I got a call that somebody was sitting over here and they wanted to make sure you were okay." "Oh, yeah." He said, "My buddy's down at McDonald's. He's coming to get me." I said, "Oh, okay. Really?" He goes, "Yeah, we're going to go play basketball." I said, "Really? You're going to go play basketball?" "Yeah." I said, "You're in a hoodie and a pair of boots that are so broken down that when you first take your step on the court, you're going to twist your ankle and break it. Is that really the story you want to stick with?" He's like, "Oh, no, that's what's happening." "Okay." So, of course, me, I'm watching out the window. And after I go in, and I'm just kind of standing way back watching so he can't see me. And he goes up and sits underneath the tree after someone else who walked into the neighborhood comes over and sits down as well. Some girl. Wasn't a guy at all. And no one picked them up. They hiked out and went west of the bank. Don't lie to me. I'm watching, right? But that's just like he is. You know, he's wanting to be deceitful, but he forgot what he was actually wearing doesn't fit the picture of what he was saying, right? Silly people.
Why he felt he had to lie?
I have no idea why he felt he needed to lie, but he felt he needed to lie because he was being called out as to, "Hey, who are you?" And a very easy answer would have been, "My name's Joe. I'm hot. I wore the wrong thing today. I need to sit in the shade." No worries. Have a seat, man. Knock yourself out. Right? That's the answer. But I just need to know who you are, because we've got young ladies walking through here, and I'm not allowing that. Right? So for the next 10, 15 minutes, everybody that walked through was escorted walking through, just because it's a safety issue, right? Anyway, lying.
Guy in a hoodie on the injury day wearing boots. Yeah, you got to figure he's not a good person.
No. No. That was a hard one. So in verse 27, what are we describing here?
Mine says, "One who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever rolls a stone, it will come back on him."
So what does that mean?
Karma.
There you go.
Exactly. That's it.
That's when you're
lying.
You're gonna fall into it yourself.
Yeah.
That's basically what I got from.
Good. And how about verse 28? What are we talking about there?
A lying tongue.
Now what is its action?
It hates its victims.
It hates the people that he's actually talking about.
They have no care for the person that they're, you know, crushing, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their flattery is really for your ruin, right? Just because someone tells you you're doing a good job, you better watch over your shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would I would then ask, since what categories would you assign 23 through 28? What categories could we pull those out of?
Wicked.
Evil.
Lying.
Lying.
Fools, yeah.
Fools.
I think we go back to that illusion.
Good.
As well.
not necessarily God's guidance, but plans, like evil plans. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to say accountability. We didn't really get to it in verse 26. But yeah. The way that he gets found out is essentially he's caught.
Right.
Open to the public, or when all God's people come together, he tries to be pretender.
Yeah, like how it said, eventually he'll be exposed before he assembled. Yeah, like that.
Anything else? Good. Congratulations, we made it out of 26. Woo, it only took us 25 minutes today. All right. First, chapter 27, verse 1. Before we go there, does anybody want a new sheet, or are you satisfied with working on the one you have? New sheet. Pass that one down, please. Two new sheets. Anyone else? All right. So, chapter 27, verse 1.
Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day might bring.
Hmm. Right. So, somebody give me an example of this. What would this look like?
Exhibit A. All right.
Take the broken mark.
Right.
I think we can. Oh, I'm looking forward to tomorrow and be all hopeful about, you know, the exciting things are going to happen. And then the day not go how you think it's going to go at all, whether it's, you know, you wake up late, the car breaks down, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, that's a simple version of it, but
it maybe cherish the day because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah.
Instead of just being thankful for the day you're in, you're wishing too much for the next day that's not coming.
So her comment here, because I know you couldn't hear it back there, it's okay, is that You're not being thankful for what you actually are experiencing today, because you're looking forward to, you're ignoring what's happening today and looking forward to tomorrow. Is that right? Yeah.
Not appreciating what you have now.
Yeah, not appreciating what you have at the very moment that God's provided for you
thinking
now.
It's going to be better the next day.
Yeah, better the next day. Yeah, good.
I don't think this is saying, like, don't plan for things, but don't make assumptions, you know, too early. More or less than a, yeah.
Kind of the
idea. Don't take it too far.
Right. I'm going to fill in blank. Do this, 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 and this tomorrow.
Yeah, because I'm going to get this job interview. That means I can go ahead and do this.
Right.
I'm taking my job. Yay.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Well, going back to what we're talking about, but definitely what Kim was saying, there's the verse that we all say, but I don't think we really mean it when we say it, that says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some days we would rather not rejoice.
Rejoicing is hard on those days, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. Whether you're hoping for, you know, whether you're not paying attention to what's going on today and hoping for the future, like we've been talking about, or just you're not thankful because everything's gone wrong. When I always think, okay, what is God protecting me from that, you know, I didn't cross that path today? You know, there's so many different ways to think about that.
I always look at it this way. We had this quarrel in high school, and it still sticks with me today. Like, there was always good days. Sometimes there's good days, but bad moments.
Yeah.
Bad moments. Yeah.
So, like, that's how it is, because God wants us to look at every day as like a good day, because God can get you through those bad moments. And that's what James wants us to look at. Because I was reading today, it's in the book of James where it says, you have to have joy in your trials. And that's what it says, you have to have joy in your faith and joy in your trials, because God's giving you a test and he can give you the answer to the test. So it's kind of like a cheat sheet, how you like look at it and be like, oh, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I get to cheat on my test.
I heard a preacher say this week, today's the only day you can praise God, because yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come. So today's the only day you've got.
Yeah.
Very good. So what categories can we assign this particular proverb to?
Plans.
Good.
Pride.
Did you say pride?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Obedience.
Instruction.
Good.
Self-control.
Yeah, self-control. Does it play to the omniscience of God? Omniscience meaning all-knowing. He knows all things. Patience. Yeah. No, patience. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Yeah.
Just don't say that we're going to go here and sell this and make this profit from this and that, because your life's very bad. Paraphrasing, obviously. I was just reading.
Isn't it interesting how the New Testament authors have echoed an awful lot the Proverbs?
Yeah.
They must have studied something.
Did Jesus pull from one of the Proverbs? Not such as that.
I think there's an awful lot of principles that we've looked at that he did. I think he pulled an awful lot from the other books too. But.
Yeah, I know he pulled from Deuteronomy, Isaiah, because he quoted Isaiah a few times.
You got to remember, like, for the disciples and Jesus, when they first were starting out, their Bible was just the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And that's all they were going off. They weren't quoting, well, it says in Philippians, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Primarily the Torah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First five books. Yeah. Are there any other categories you would assign this to? Good. Verse 2.
Let other people praise you, even strangers, but do not praise yourself.
Okay.
Humble.
Humble. Don't be prideful. Boastful.
Pat yourself on the back.
I think...
break your arm.
Yeah. As our, like our... referring to like our Christian brothers, Christian sisters, you know, we're called to hold them accountable, but I think we're also called to lift them up when they do good things. There's a training I did at work where they talked about, like when you're over a group of people, how good... just positive encouragement is just checking in on them and, you know, telling them they're doing a good job on their work and stuff, because that builds a lot more, for one, a relationship with them, more so than like only hitting them when they're doing bad things. That it just builds your relationship with them, but it also makes them, it improves their work, because they're going to continually strive to I get it. It's kind of like that. I don't want to say you're striving for praise, but you're going to do good things if people say those things are good.
So did they follow that up with the number analogy that goes with that? Did they talk about the numbers? So how many negative things do you remember that someone says about you?
Only those.
I was going to say all of them, right? It only takes one negative comment to actually destroy you, right? How many positive comments does it take for you to build up, right? Back in the leadership days of the leadership classes I've been to, they always said for every one negative thing you say, you have to say at least 7, 12, I mean, the number is just exponential positive things to reinforce good behavior, because they will always remember the one negative thing you've ever said about them or someone else, right? So being positive, making a good statement, coming alongside, encouraging, is super important in a leadership role. In fact, it's not just for leadership, is it? No, it's for us follower people too. We who follow, we have anyone who's following Christ, it's our responsibility to come alongside and encourage. Because we all need encouragement. Aaron, it's really nice to see you tonight. I'm glad you're here, right? That's an encouraging thing. But Aaron, you were 10 minutes late. What in the world? You're still here, but wow, really? No.
Glad you made it.
Thanks for coming, right? Which one is he going to remember? He's going to remember the fact that, and he wasn't even late, he was early, right? I mean, but he's going to remember that I said he was late, right? And he wasn't. Right, but I'm not going to say I'm just joking because we talked about that last time. But
we had that talk just last time.
Yeah, we did. Right, we can't say that anymore. So, but you know, that's what he would take away. He would remember the negative thing that I said or the negative aspect of something that I may have said.
We're talking like you don't always see your own growth, mm-hmm. So it's good to hear when people see that you've made growth, especially like in your spiritual walk or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because you don't always see it, you know. Because sometimes you just feel like, I don't know, sometimes for me, I just feel like I'm chasing my tail, you know, like I spit on my wheels, and then somebody will come along and be like, "Hey, man, I've noticed this about you." It just makes you feel good. You know what I mean? It doesn't, and for you to say that about yourself, you're like, well, I've made great strides in my walk. You know?
Just ask me, I'll tell you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but we were talking about that one day.
So what's the one thing we have to make sure that when we are hearing these things, that we manage? What do we have to manage?
Pride.
Our own pride, right? So we have to maintain a spirit of humility, right? So what categories would you assign verse 2? Chapter 27, verse 2.
Influence.
Influence, good.
Pride and humility.
Pride and humility, good.
I said contentment.
Yeah, being content.
Being content with where you are, whether you're getting complimented or not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Giving those compliments, whether you're receiving them.
Yeah. Contentment with not being, not in the sense that you are stagnant, but that you are okay with where you are. Right? Any others? I also said this is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of your heart, you know, what you've resigned yourself to and what you're giving yourself to. Verse 3.
A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them.
Their leadership number in that one.
Right.
That's an interesting one.
Well, so what does it mean?
I think it can go back to the verse right before it and to the comment that you said, you know, when it's talking about a fool's wrath. If somebody is speaking unkindly or, you know, as a fool, it's very, very weighty. And if you put those words onto somebody else, it can be very disheartening, discouraging. So I think...
So you said with the negative words.
Yeah, with the negative words. You speak those negative words. It makes an impact. It's very... I mean, they can walk away very dejected. Their shoulders are down. You know, just the physical weight of words like that for somebody can be very difficult. So
I thought about this in terms of people who are accidentally successful, and then they share their success stories when they have nothing to do with it. Particularly like influencers who happen to start streaming the day before a pandemic. I'm wildly successful. All you have to do, right before a pandemic starts and everyone's glued to their screens, start it up. Right then, that day. It's like, you are the least qualified person to give advice, and you're going, okay, bring on the criticism. Yeah, this makes you feel worse about the situation.
I like the passion translation of this. It's easier to carry a heavy boulder that's on the sand than to be provoked by a fool and have to carry that burden. That's kind of what you were saying.
But just the weight of it, yeah.
A lot heavier weight to carry.
And I don't like to carry sand or rocks like that. So,
I think I like that it says provokes. It's not even the fact that it's just a foolish person that's near you. It's a foolish person who got the best of you.
Yeah.
Because we were all around, surrounded by fools all the time. But man, it sucks when they got one over you.
Yeah. And,
I think it's hard because we choose sometimes to believe, it's that illusion, you're choosing to believe something that really isn't truth. I think that makes that even more difficult.
So like when the two came
in? I'm just kidding. It makes me think of like, if you like you work with like an argumentative or a contentious person that it normally doesn't bother you. And then, like, that day, they just provoke you, and you're just like, and then, like, the rest of your day, you're just like, you know, we just have a day about
it. We're so mean today.
Yeah, right. But it just kind of, like, makes the rest of your day, you know, like, crappy.
Because for the foolish person to be doing that stuff daily, that's just them. But for, you know, somebody who doesn't usually fall for that, fall into foolishness, it looks that jump down. It's a greater jump. It's a more visible thing to see than somebody who's always just like, that's just what Nick does. Eli yells at somebody one time and, you know, it's...
When someone is being mean and hateful, it says more about the person who's speaking the negative words than it does about the person receiving it.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. So what categories? We've listed off a couple, but what categories? Let's recap that. Verse 3. What categories?
Three.
I'm going to have to get a bigger Bible.
They have good readers.
I know, right? I need that. So what categories? Somebody say any?
I was just going to say two true categories.
True.
I'm just going to have to wait because I can't quit coughing.
Well, thank you. When we talk about our speech, a category would come into mind is evil and death. You know, our words do matter. Right? And we can build up or we can tear down. And in this case, this is a great description on what it looks like to tear down.
I think it should be under, like, pride, too, pride and fools.
Okay.
And
and probably disrespect.
Good.
Obviously lips. I'm seeing lips just like you know what comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. What comes right off?
Yeah. Lips are telling you.
Instruction?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
She could even be wise or wisdom.
Wise, that's a good
one. Yeah. Not on the opposite side of looking at it, but.
Right.
Can also be under self control, too.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at this from the perspective of what we don't want to do, we don't want to tear down, so we have to exercise some self control and humility. To guard our words, guard our tongue.
So I am genuinely asking. Sometimes I have an answer in mind, this time I don't. Is the intended point of this proverb to prepare you to not let yourself feel that way? Because remember, they're a fool. So why are you letting this bother you?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely another side to look at this, right? I think, because you can look at it both ways. Well, you can talk like this, or, hey, they're going to do this. Be prepared. Let that roll, right?
Sure, yeah. The don't be a fool part. I guess I'm trying to apply, how does that help you prepare your own heart? Especially if you know you work with some knuckleheads, you know? There's someone who is at work, and they love to compete, and they love to win on their terms, which are make no sense. The rules don't apply, you know? But man, when they win, they rub it in your face, and it makes you feel like dirt. So brace yourself today. Good luck. Self-control, remember, you know? Like, go get them, Tiger. But I guess what I'm concluding is that it can't simply be pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Come on. Yeah, wipe those tears. Get them away.
Well, I think the key to what you're saying is that word of provoking. They're provoking, right? So the description in the way you're describing that is that, hey, they're going to provoke you, and this is what's going to be coming, right? It isn't that they're even going to do it. It's they're going to poke and prod and poke and prod, and it's going to feel like this. I like that.
So in that way, you could say you like firm foundation, to be on a firm foundation with God.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Being on
or
a firm.
Or even mercy.
Yeah.
Know?
I think to your point, I think it's very important that you understand the truth. Whether like your description of you know this person that you work for and that's their that's how they operate, you know, that's their mode of operation. You have to make sure that, because in fact I'm thinking of a person, we were having a conversation very similar to this, how somebody kept provoking them, and I'm like, you know what, the best thing that you can do in those kinds of situations is only speak truth.
Yeah.
Don't try to provoke back or I gotcha. I said anything you say needs to be truth back to them, because they can't go anywhere with the truth. They can't. It's kind of like, you know, the whole fire thing over here. It's like choop. You kind of put out the you know the fire in the sense you just choop. It's like, you know, it's not going to burn anymore because I'm not giving it any oxygen, any wood, anything.
Sure.
So I think it goes both ways. Number one, if that happens to you, you really need to make sure if you're going to speak back, it's going to be truth. But also, if you're saying it too, you have to think, okay, wait a minute, am I really speaking truth to people or am I weighing them down? I think in any of those instances, you have to think, I have to be speaking truth. I have to be telling myself truth in my head, because you can very easily believe the fool. I think truth is pretty much one of those, it covers all of those different angles.
Well,
when you get into that.
Well, it speaks to the depth of self-control.
Yeah,
The kind of self-control you need is one that is rooted in truth, a firm foundation that when it's poked, well, foundations don't typically move.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
No, that's cool. All right. So, good. Truth wasn't on your list.
There you go. It is now.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I love to flesh out those things when it comes to very logical truth, rationale, you know, but it's describing an emotional wave that you are faced with. And you are going to have this. It's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Now what? You're aggravated. You're... He's a fool. And you somehow have to work your way back to grace.
Working your way back to grace.
It doesn't necessarily have to be for them. Like, you're wrestling with the fact, I just got stirred up by a fool. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal.
All right. Verse 4.
Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Do we need to keep on going?
No, go ahead. I was just thinking that the last verse and this one kind of go hand in hand in that description.
Stylistic thing, yeah.
Do you ever run across people who are jealous?
Yeah.
More often than what you wish?
Better question is, are you jealous?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the follow-up question, right? If you're not running across people who are jealous, are you jealous? Right? So what version did you...
I'm looking up the definition of the word 20.
Okay.
A sudden, violent, or copious outpouring of something, typically words or feelings. So like a sudden burst of... you just start spewing out in anger.
Okay. Yeah. So it's overwhelming or...
Yeah.
Yeah. A torrent.
Her comment in her Bible says both Proverbs have the same pattern. Two items mentioned for comparison's sake, followed by a single item that is worse than both of them. So together the proverb suggests that a fool is more unbearable than any kind of physical stone or sand, or psychological wrath and anger difficulty. Jealousy, unlike ordinary anger, will not listen to the voice of reason.
Very good. That's a good Bible.
Is that the ESV study?
Yeah.
Smart guys. Kind of think about the addictive quality of anger. You know, it's, you know, you fall into that anger or that, what we believe as righteous retribution, you know, or getting back on it, is like how easy it is to just kind of like, oh, I just feel like blow off steam. Really, you shouldn't have to. Like, it's you're letting that anger control you while it's inside of you. Instead of just letting it pass instantly, you shouldn't have a buildup of anger, a buildup of pressure. You're not, you know, you're not in tune with your emotions otherwise, or not as in tune as you should be.
Yeah, you've let them control you. You've let your feelings control your behavior. Good.
That's why control people like that is when they're going off on you, just kind of look at them. Then when they're done, just smile and walk away. Because they're doing it just to get a rise out of you. When they don't get a rise out of you, they lost.
Right. How much self-control does it take to do that?
Sometimes a lot. Because you really just want to punch them in the face.
And rightfully so. I mean, they might probably deserve it, right?
Right.
But it's not worth it. It's
too Sometimes much. They sign your paycheck. And
you can't. My boss had to give me a little talk the other day about some of my coworkers. But he said it in a really unique way. He said, "Why worry about what the sheep are doing when you're alive?" just had to think about what he said for a minute. You know? So I was letting people bother me that really shouldn't be bothering me. But I like the way he said it. He said, "Why worry about this? It's about the sheep."
Well, no, I'm saying your boss was praising you.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was, yeah.
So he was like, "You're above them anyway, so don't worry about it." You know? So it made me feel good, but I just like the way he said it.
Is that a Bible verse?
And he was making the statement, lion, right?
Yeah.
I worry about the sheep when you're the lion.
Yeah. I've never been referred to as a lion. I'm only the sheep.
Can you have my lion one?
So what categories would we assign verse 4?
You like to know. Scores?
How about counsel?
Counsel? Good.
Coveting.
Did you say scorners?
Yep, scorners.
How about pride?
Yep.
Pride?
It seems how the root of all sin is rooted in pride. So,
yeah.
Got eye problems.
Along with coveting, would you have lying and selfishness in this particular verse? Let's look at the opposite here, though. What's the opposite? Meaning the good quality that we need to take away from this.
I had written down self-control.
Good. Self-control.
It shows how important working on self-control is.
Yep.
Contentment.
Even like self-control, it's more just tapping into the Holy Spirit, because we're going to give in to jealousy and anger every single time. Is it any of the things we can do? It's just not like, I'm getting really mad right now. I can't do this, but God can. Knowing that distinction and focusing on God's God's sovereignty, and also knowing that God's anger is the only true anger, the only pure anger in the world, and that's what is ultimately going to fix this situation in the end. So.
Kind of going back to that idea of truth.
At some point.
Yeah, compassion. Along with what Ian was saying, you know, or Eli was saying, I looked at you. I had just looked at him. I apologize. It's just like what Eli said in that. I forgot my train of thought because he looked at me so cross-eyed.
But the way he said it made me think of Holy God. Reflecting on that God is holy in that moment, you know what I mean? So just, that's what the first thing I thought of was holy God. Like, you admiring God's holiness and just allowing that compassion and his sovereign ability, you know what I mean, to, you know, so.
I think, though, to your point, it's very hard to do that if you don't know the character of God, if you haven't really dove into here are the characteristics of God, and I think we don't lean on that enough.
It's my point. Weird one, because of just how blatant jealousy is wrong, and then we hear God himself reveal, I'm a jealous God. You know why? Because literally it's wrong. For you, it's not always wrong that you didn't get something. For me, it's wrong. Because I'm the only actual God.
Yeah.
That's a weird one. Mm-hmm. It's a good one, though. Yeah, Holy God's a good one to lean into. That's another one of those hows. Here's how.
Good.
Cody always hits me with the praying hands and texts. I hit him with a text and always hits me with praying hands. It used to drive me nuts. I was like, I know. but now when he does it, it makes me like to stop and revert and go, alright. Yeah. I need to pray through this.
I didn't send her a text saying Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that.
Are you adding justice to the list for verse 4?
We can. Justice is on there.
I was asking Cody.
Oh.
He said justice.
Justice? What about accountability along with that same idea? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holding ourselves accountable, being accountable to what we believe and how we need to act, not necessarily react.
So faithfulness and faith, being involved in that as well.
Yes. So when we look at all the things that we've written down tonight and what we've looked at, this passage in 26 through 27, what kind of sticks out as to where we were and where we've been, what we talked about, and maybe some challenges that we can take away from the week?
For me, I need to start seeking God's guidance more in situations instead of like trying to fight those fights with my ability, allowing those praying hands, or maybe just take the time at work to stop for a second and pray.
And sometimes the answer could be, you know what, that's a good point. Let me think about that, and I'll get right back. You know, sometimes that gives you and that other person that break to prevent yourself from blowing up, like, you know, and to get control and pray about it and argue with God through the windshield and then go back and talk to him, right?
I do that.
Yeah. That's what windshield time's for.
I think it's pretty clear instruction. Self-control and another one here that I picked up. Discernment. Yeah. You even know how to react in situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you're discerning yourself. Like, you. I mean, personally, I'm in denial that I have emotions, you know. I don't know if that's most men or maybe that's a me thing, but I'd rather refuse that I have emotions or that I am emotional.
So that's as far as a minute.
I'm with Aaron. I think so many of what we read, we can sit here and read it and talk about it all day long, but going out and exercising these things when people provoke you all the time at many different levels for whatever reason, it's very hard to, okay, God, I don't have to reply back. I don't have to engage, you know, kind of like what Dave said. It's hard to have the self-control and discernment in any of those situations, no matter how small or big, to just take a step back and not let pride get in the way. You know, it's super hard.
He's still trying to handle that.
That's going to be like, look, the first time you want to have it, bro.
Kind of makes you wonder if they're tricking Mitz and he's trying to.
Right. He's trying to trick.
I was just joking.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. We'll pray. Pastor Nate.
Father, we love you, and we thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. And when we come to your word, especially when we gather, as even an assembly like this, goodness, you are able to speak into our lives, open up a light where there was darkness before, and help us to walk more on the path that you would have for us. I pray that we would see that. It would cause us to gather all the more and devote ourselves to your word, and keep our eyes fixed above all the more until the day that we see you face to face. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So, yes. Okay. Here's the story. So, this church.
Depends on where you're at, I guess.
We didn't talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
That's our foundation, my reference.
Yes.
State the size that you're wrong, yes. Is it happening to you or are you?
Yeah, Rachel. Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure out her relationship. When I walked in, I'm like, oh, God, that's cool. Yeah, that, exactly. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
You guys do, did you guys?
Yes. Yeah, so there's, so John.
Cool. I'm sure, I was like, how do you know John? Like, how